Thank you, Anjan. Thank you for these teachings today. I was really moved by this story of the Buddha's passing, and really stood out that his teachings on generosity, even in his last days and last hours. And I was wondering about something called vibhavatana, craving for non-existence. Because it seems like in the face of such a loss, of losing such a great teacher, I'm just wondering if vibhavatana arose in any of the monks. And sometimes in life, such grief just feels really overwhelming. And so I'm wondering what is how about noticing vibhavatana in practice, and what is a wise and compassionate response to this? Thank you.
Well, I think one of the things in terms of that sense of vibhavatana, one of the ways it can come in terms of like grief or loss, like vibhavatana, I don't want it like this. It shouldn't be this way. I don't like it. How do I get rid of this? And of course, that is how the Buddha expresses it, that there are those monks and those devas who are grieving and who are don't really feel ready, and but then of course and which is like for even for as you said in that whole company the least realized was a stream enterer or stream enterers, but still, I mean, stream enterers are still going to experience grief. I mean, there's still it isn't really until at least non-returner, but certainly arahant, that one would be freed from vibhavatanha, completely freed, because that. and arahant. To a greater or lesser degree, then there's going to be some feeling of loss or of gee, I wish it wasn't like this. But it's also another aspect that what the Buddha said. It's like that lifting up the. that recollection of the Dhamma, and that's why we take refuges and precepts. I mean, it's just like we do. That's some of the benefits of these ceremony and ritual and drawing close to the tradition, because it reminds us of these reflections and these. Say exhortations that come up over and over again, or even during, like Buddhist ceremonies do have especially in the Theravada, they're pretty basic, but they're quite powerful because they come back to the roots. I think just in terms of like grief, I mean, not with the Buddha, but I'm thinking, I remember one time having one of our, somebody who was closely connected with Ajahn Chah and then, and Wat Nana Chat in Thai, this is in Thailand. And he was a well-known, influential, wealthy politician, educator. He had several schools, but he was born in the village right next to Wat Nana Chat. And then when he passed away, he offered a piece of land that he had. He had kept for some time, and he made it clear before he passed away he wanted it passed on. But because he was so well known in the region, and it was a really big affair, and we went into their home. He lived in the city. Went to the home every day for like 7 days, and ceremonies were there. And you know, each time you give a Dhamma talk and you do chanting, and then come out and do the cremation at the monastery. And the cremation at the monastery is really bare bones. There was a set of steps. It was open with wood from the forest stacked up, and you put the coffin on top. And he really wanted to do that. Put the coffin on top, and you light it, and everybody's there, and everything's in the open. And all through this time, I talked with the widow, and she was didn't really display any kind of strong emotion. But then it was on one of the ceremonies that's a part of after the cremation, 3 days after the cremation, or sometimes a day after, and I think in this case it was the day after, then you gather the ashes, and you take the ashes and you put them into the shape of a human figure, and then you do another more chanting. And it wasn't until that point that it really hit her that, oh, he really is dead. And then the grief sort of hit. So those, on a rational level, the body's right there. I mean, at home. But, the mind throws up so many screens, and we have so that the ceremony and the ritual is really helpful for reminding us, so that all of the different recollections, the ceremonies, the traditions, help us to allow the realities of our experience to come into the heart. And you know, we do tend to push it away with weep bawa tanha. So then and that's where the net or the web of good spiritual friendships, the hearing the teachings, participating in the different rituals and ceremonies, have the ability to open the heart to recognize, oh, that is vipava tanha, and that is trying to hold it back is suffering. Mm-hmm. And sometimes allowing the grief to come in allows it to pass through. So it's, and of course it can go the other way of indulging in it as well. But in general, in terms of the, the story of the Buddha's passing, yeah, there's both the monastics as well as lay community who are shaken by it. They don't want to accept it. But then there's others that are, yeah, it's very clear. It's really, they're not shaken. And those are the ones who really take the, but that whole range of experience is going to, it's just part of human condition. But it's good to be noticing. Okay, weep bawa tanha has it's there, or bawa tanha. I want it should be like this. I want it like this. I should be like this. The world should be like this. That's a good way to create suffering. Mm.